Jamie, we're going to do something really fun today on this episode.
Fun for you.
It is fun for me. It's kind of honestly confusing for me because I know too much to ask some of these questions. So it's kind of hard to put myself in the shoes of a newly engaged at Expo coming up,
like,
to talk.
Doe-eyed and innocent. Like, yes. No, you've seen things. You already know.
I know too much, but I'm going to try to tap into that version of myself many years ago where I didn't know anything about weddings or who any of the vendors were and the roles they play and whatnot. So for those of you listening who are like, what is happening? We're going to pretend we're at an expo and Jamie has a booth and I am one of the people attending this expo to find out information.
We are gathered here today to bring together the wedding community. Whether you are a seasoned pro, a newbie planning to start your own wedding business, or an engaged couple hoping to see behind the scenes, we're here to share tips, tricks, and laughs with you as we talk weddings. The Union Podcast is a show that aims to build a community for those in the wedding planning trenches. Join Jamie Wolfer, Heather Laurie Fear, and special guests in roundtable discussions about the challenges and joys of the wedding business. And now here come your hosts, Jamie and Heather.
So obviously, none of us have done really large events like this in a long time. So I'm like, what if I screw up? We're just going to edit it out. We're just going to pretend like I'm perfect at pitching sales every time.
Yeah. Jamie is 100% success rate. Every person who comes up to her booth ever books her. It's insane.
No. But there is that element of, like, first, like, all jokes aside, you're going to fail. Yeah. Like, you're going to have someone walk away from you at an expo and you're going to be like, what the heck just came out of my mouth?
Yes, that, like, is part of the process.
100% part of the process. You have to botch it a little bit to get better. And I hate phrases like that where you're like, you got to fall to learn how to get back up again. But, like, you don't know how to sell yourself. You're going to screw it up. No one walks into this just being like, I'm a boss. I've got this. No, you're going to mess up.
Yeah. And even when you've kind of got it down, it's still going to come out of your mouth wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
Or you're going to read the couple wrong. You're going to, something's just not going to come together right.
Oh, for sure.
So nobody's perfect. So I think that's a good place to start with just like, hey, be your own personality. Don't try to embody Jamie. If you're listening to this and you're like going to be at an expo, you do not have to be Jamie Wolfer to do this successfully.
Yeah.
Be you and put your own little spin on it and be your true authentic self. So where do we start, Jamie? We start with, you're at the booth.
We made the booth pretty because that is the utmost importance to make a pretty booth. The first thing that you're going to kind of have to get yourself prepared for is, like, just an onslaught of different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to gauge the personalities pretty quickly. You don't have to. It's very beneficial if you do. So if someone's really quiet and they're like, hi, what is it that you do? I'm not going to go full Jamie on them because I'm going to overwhelm the heck out of them. You know what I mean? I'm going to be like, oh, so we're wedding coordinators. And I'm going to slightly shift myself because that's just quintessential Enneagram 3, you know, like, that's what I do to make sure that I'm suiting the personality best. I'm also looking for, do I want to work with this person? Because you can get some pretty intense and or aggressive vibes pretty quickly, or you can get some know-it-all vibes really quickly. I don't know why, but sometimes it's the grooms that come in and they're like, oh, well, this is how we think it should be done. You know, that just have this, I'm maybe over-explaining it, but just being aware of these personalities pretty quickly and knowing what you want to work with and what you don't want to work with. Like, Heather, you brought up a great point when I was talking about, like, type A bride before we got this started. Some people might love a type A bride that comes rushing in. It's like, here's my 52-page spreadsheet. I know exactly what I'm looking for. I had this exact budget for a coordinator. You might be the perfect fit. Why would you be the perfect fit? Some of us would hear that and be like, whoa, sis, like, pump the brakes. Hi, what's your name? Let's have a conversation. And other coordinators or planners would hear that and be like, God bless you. You are my ideal client. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, for me, I would dig it kind of. It gets a little intimidating when the people are so detailed that it's a little difficult at points, but it reassures me that I know what the issues are for them. So I kind of like that vibe. And I think for you, you like the laid back sort of vibe more.
I actually, surprisingly enough, I don't mind a type A bride.
Okay.
I love a type A bride where they're so type A that they start ignoring my advice ignoring my professional input. That's when it's too much for me. But I don't mind a type A bride. Mm-hmm. I like a bride who takes wedding planning by the horns. The more laid back they get, the more passive they are when I'm like dragging them to do anything. Ugh, I don't want that. Because obviously we've talked about this plenty of times. Like I'm not super hands-on, handle every single detail, schedule your dress fitting, attend your dress fitting, go to all the tastings. That's not the type of planner that I am. So we can meet a pretty wide range, but I don't mind type A to a certain extent or laid back to a certain extent.
Okay. And then always at your booths, you mentioned before that you do a giveaway.
Yes.
You do a little special promo, so to speak, at the expo to draw people into the booth. Can you tell us a little about that? And then also why you might draw an X on some of the backs of giveaway entries.
Oh, she's ratting me out already. Okay. So this was all passed down to me from Dave from Amari Productions. Before I did my very first booth, he was like, number one, decorate it. Because this was back when nobody decorated them. And they were all folding tables with very cheap tablecloths and like folding chairs. He's like, just go in, go ham. And I will not forget how many vendors stopped by our booth on the day of setup and were like, oh my gosh, for our very first booth, because we went in hard and just decorated the heck out of it. And he said, number two, get email addresses on your own. Do not depend on the list from the expo because that's getting sent out to everybody all at the same time. Secondary reason that you want to get the email addresses is because those are the people you directly interacted with. If you send out an email to the entire dang list of 200, 2000 couples that came through, I mean, 80% of them aren't going to know who you are because they didn't talk to you. So it doesn't matter if you're going to give them a discount or not, probably not going to book with you, or they're just going to be freebie seekers or discount seekers that probably won't value your services enough.
Right. Slash, I'll say might be annoyed because you get a lot of spam when you attend.
So much spam. You signed up for the last bridal expo.
I signed up. I will not name the expo name, but they definitely give your email to everyone and all of them. Well, I won't say all of them. A lot of these companies do not think this through, you guys. And they send emails like, hey, we saw you at our booth. It was so great to chat. And I'm like, I literally talked to zero people.
Right.
I was not attending as a bride. And you are full of BS. And it comes off so scammy.
It does.
And they're saying, oh, we chatted. Yeah, you wanted to book us. Like trying to like trick me like I have dementia or something and don't know what I did. And I can only imagine as a couple getting that and being like, no, I'm never going to book you. You seem like a sleazeball. Like that's definitely what I would get from that and did get from that.
Exactly. And that for me is why when we get the email addresses, we send out something more personalized, much more personalized, because I know they came to our booth. Hey, thank you so much for stopping by our booth and entering into our raffle. And so we do a raffle to incentivize people to put their names in. But basically the key here is to get their emails, but also we'll get general guest count, general budget, location, and date. Mm-hmm. All of those I dump into a spreadsheet when I get home and then go, okay, what do we have double bookings on? Okay. What's close? What's far? What's a venue that I really want to work at? And really kind of lean into all those facts. Oh, this person has a $12,000 budget. They can't afford us. Mm-hmm. They can't, or they shouldn't, you know, like there's no way that we're going to fit effectively into their price range or, oh, this is a $100,000 wedding. I don't know what to do with that. So basically like a factoid dump onto the spreadsheet. And then everyone I choose gets a discount. They may enter to win 20% off. Maybe a handful of those will happen, especially if they're really close, because I'm like, I'm probably not going to book anything else during that time frame. The likelihood of someone booking me that short or that close in it before the event, it's pretty slim. So I'd rather make some money than no money. And then everyone else gets 10% off. Hey, although you were not a grand prize winner, you have the runner up of 10%. This is obviously a tried and true sales technique. It absolutely works. And that's why at our first one, I always forget if we had 14 or 15 or 16 bookings off of it. But like,
that's amazing though.
A lot for your very first expo. And as far as the X.
Oh, yes. What is the X theme, Jamie? Tell us.
So you sometimes get a vibe where you're like, there is absolutely no way that I could work with this couple and be the kind of planner that I want to be, the kind of planner that they need. So I would make a little mark on the corner of their raffle ticket. Or if they were talking to me, like, here, let me go ahead and take that from you. It makes me sound awful saying this out loud, but like,
It's smart. It doesn't make you sound awful.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate your affirmation. I just sound like an awful person. Or I'd like fold it and drop it in. And then, you know, later I'd pull it back out and put an X on it to be like, I'm not the planner for them. I will be miserable. They will not enjoy my services. Nope. Or like, no, I don't want to, or just, I can't meet their needs, whatever it happens to be, to make that demarcation. So when I get back, that doesn't even make it to the spreadsheet.
Right. I think that's actually super smart. And yes, it sucks to have to be judging people in that way, but realistically, you're making those judgment. You got to look at it and see if the vibe is right. If there's, you know, the match on the budget, all these different things. And if it's not there, it's not there. You don't need to invest your time and energy into following up with a dud.
Yeah. And it's not fair to the couple either, because I want to be excited about the events I'm working. I want to be excited about what we're doing. And I think that's a main tenet of why we do what we do with our company. So for me, at first I felt kind of a little mean doing it. But the more I realized, like, no, we are all saving ourselves from experience that I can tell that I just will not go well. Yeah. So yeah, all of those are like how, like the beginning prep work, how to get ready for these conversations. It's spotting who you want in the conversation that gets to be a little bit harder. And then how do you sell to the people that you want?
Right.
We interrupt this podcast because there is something extremely special that I want to share with you guys. I don't know about you, but for the last who knows how many years, I've been using a Frankensteined, Googled, copied and pasted contract. And while that is extremely embarrassing to admit to all of our listeners, I know that there are people out there who feel the same as I do. And there were a couple things that kept me from actually getting an attorney drafted contract. Actually, no, there was one thing. It was so expensive and it seemed so out of reach. That's when I learned about Legally Set. You see, Coonby with Legally Set has created industry-specific contracts for people like you and me working in the wedding industry. They're easy to customize. They're drafted by an actual attorney and not Google. Can you imagine that? And last but not least, they are so extremely affordable. So if you were like me and maybe using a less than appropriate and or legal contract, it's time to step up your game. You have no more excuses. Head on over to theunionpodcast.com/legallyset to check them out.
What is important to talk about when you're at this booth and you're having this entry conversation? So why don't we get into that and pretend like I just walked up to your beautiful booth and, you know, ask, like, what do you guys do? What does a coordinator do?
Yeah. So the very first thing that I do, and I'm not mentioning asides to you guys as the listeners first, is immediately that tells me they have no clue and they want me to pitch myself. Mm-hmm. Ideally, I do not want to be in a position where I have to pitch the purpose of a coordinator. Mm-hmm. Because if I have to tell you what a coordinator is, one, it's so hard to boil down into a 90-second elevator pitch to a complete stranger who doesn't care. You know, like it's really hard. It's going to be a really hard sell to be like, here's what we do in that short time frame that you have them, unless they already know what you do. So I try to make it not a huge emphasis on like, let me tell you all the things that a coordinator does. And instead I will share a few things and then ask them for some details about their event to start the relationship. So the first thing that I'll do is I would grab my packages and I'd be like, oh, I'm so glad that you asked. Well, we actually do a myriad of things. Our most basic package is month of coordination. And here are some of the amenities that we have there. And by passing off that piece of paper to them, they then have something to hold onto and look at and make eye contact with, which is a great like icebreaker. So we're not just staring at each other awkwardly in a crowded convention center. Mm-hmm. And then they can follow along with what I'm talking about. This also doubles as a great way for me to learn my packages like the back of my hand. So I walk through our offerings. And then with each one, I'm like, here's why we do this. Here's why we do that. So month of coordination, about 4 to 6 weeks out, we will set your final details meeting. And this meeting is incredible. It's as if you take your wedding planning baton and you pass it off to us. We get all the information out of you in this meeting, and we also will create a personalized timeline for you during that time as well. Once we have all of your vendor information, we will then send out that timeline on your behalf so you don't have to be handling any of those details. We'll also run the rehearsal. Typically, that happens about the night before. Sometimes it happens earlier in the week, but we flex as needed. And then you have us for 8 hours on your wedding day. And here's where the magic happens, because obviously, you spent a lot of money on your wedding day and you want to make sure that you wouldn't buy a super expensive car and not have insurance, or you wouldn't board a super expensive yacht and not have a captain of the ship. That's what we like to do. We are the masters of your timeline. We seek out the littlest and most important of details that you value, and we make sure that they're done thoughtfully and intentionally. And basically, we just want to make sure that you have a stress-free and wonderful event. Now, everything that I just explained was very full on. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't always go that deep. I'm watching for physical cues. If they're starting to check out, I just like wrap up the details and don't explain why. Mm-hmm. They want to ask. Great. If not, like if I can see them kind of moving away or like I'm mm-hmm. losing their interest, it is not that long every time. And I don't always do the captain of the ship analogy. That works okay. with some people. It does not work with other people. That's like fear mongering a little bit. So mm-hmm. I'm careful for when I use that one. But basically, I speak to pain points that I know clients will have, like timeline, right. like how do I get all this wedding planning information out of my brain to let someone else take care of this? Final details meeting, rehearsal, how do we practice? You know, who's going to run my wedding day? I answer all of those pain points, ideally in a pretty quick pitch.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. And I think what is smart there is from that initial response of to what does a coordinator do? You've already kind of pinned it down that they must be pretty early in the process because right. as they're planning, they're going to uncover this information.
Right.
That probably also helps you kind of guide that pitch. Yeah. I'd imagine you're going down a few different routes depending on where they seem like they're at in the process, right?
Yes. So that pitch actually probably isn't for a brand new person. That's more for someone who's been planning for a couple months. They're like, holy smokes, this is a lot more than I anticipated. If someone's brand new, I will oftentimes say something like, oh, you're just getting started. Oh, you don't have a wedding day yet. Oh my gosh. Great. Fantastic. Take your time. Enjoy the process. I know a lot of people say it can be stressful, but like there can be a lot of really fun elements to wedding planning. So I completely get it. Like, obviously we love what we do. I'm kind of a nerd about it, but typically for a coordinator, if that's what you're looking for, you'd book them about 12 months in advance, maybe a little bit closer to your wedding date if you want to. But if you want long-term planning, you're looking more at like 12 to 18 months, at least that's the packages that we offer. So to give them a broader scope instead of like that really awful sense of urgency that so many people use in their pitches. Oh, you don't have a planner yet? Oh my mm-hmm. goodness. Your whole wedding is going to light on fire. So that's why I like to instead pitch it in that way, because then it's like, oh, great. Oh, you actually make me feel comfortable. You make me feel good about this. And then I'll explain a skeleton of our packages.
Okay. I like that. And then if they were further along in their planning, let's say they come up to the booth and they're just like, oh, we're looking for a coordinator. We have right. all of other vendors booked. We have our date. It's December 1st, 2021. Are you available? And basically come out that strong. Because I know some of the couples.
Some do. Basically, I would say off the top of my head, I'm not sure if we have that date booked or not. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your event and what you're looking for from a coordinator? I do this in my sales calls too. What I'm doing is active listening so I can hear what they're looking for and then regurgitate it back in such a manner where like if we can provide those services that they are looking for, great, we've got that. If they are still very much like boom, 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 I need information. I need it from you quickly. I actually I don't give them firm answers. Mm-hmm. I want more conversation because if they're intense coming out of the bat, they may get next on their...
They're a little too intense for you.
It might be too intense. So I'm like, I need to hear and feel you out a little bit more. I'm not sure if I have that date booked. I'd be happy to look into that for you. If you want to, hey, since you're here, we have this raffle going on. Why don't you go ahead and fill this out? And then I can tell you a little bit about what we've got going on as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to like soften it up and ideally get to know because... really, that couple may be overwhelmed by the situation. You never know. These expos for the couples attending can be an emotional moment too. They have sometimes parents or mother-in-laws or friends, like people have been having some champagne. Like it can throw people into an yeah. emotional tizzy. So you might not be getting their actual normal personality in this scenario. They also may be like a little overwhelmed by the amount of people depending on the yes. scenario.
Yeah. It feels like a cattle call. It 100% feels like a cattle call for everybody involved. It's like, even as a vendor or as a couple, it's a lot to go through and you'll see that. You'll see when they're walking by your booth with like saucers for eyeballs.
Yes.
Yeah. It can be a lot for some people.
I would also think like, depending how many other people they've talked to, potentially they're having a little sticker shock. If they're early in the planning process and people are sharing pricing and they're just like, what? Like, I am not prepared yeah. for this.
Yeah. And so if I can, during those conversations, I do try to figure out what their current pain points are. Mm-hmm. What are you looking for in a planner? What are you looking for in a coordinator? And if they're like, oh, we haven't really thought about it. You know, we're not sure. Again, I never want to get overly pitchy because that just doesn't feel comfortable for me. And that's not, I don't sell well that way. Where if I'm like, here, let me huck my wares at your face. It doesn't work as well. So yeah, it all depends on what your personality is like and what you feel like, how best they would receive your pitch.
Mm-hmm. And do you ever feel like there are people who approach the booth who maybe are like the family, friends around the couple who uh-huh. are kind of taking charge? And then what do you do in those scenarios?
First of all, affirm them. Wow, it's so sweet that you are so involved on their behalf. Like, that's incredible that you love them and you love this relationship and this couple that you want to assist with their wedding. Yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about what we do. But throughout that conversation, I will weave in like, it's really important to us to obviously create a relationship with the couple that we're working with. So if you want to take this information to them, I would be thrilled to chat with them further. But basically, like, I need to get it out of this person's hands and into the couple's, because this person could be gung-ho or super sweet or, you know, be completely different than the couple. So I might be a great fit for their aunt who's fact-finding for them, but an awful fit for this couple. So I don't commit to the relative or to the maid of honor at all. I commit to the couple.
Okay. That's good to keep perspective on, because I've definitely seen that before, where it's just like a crew of people walking around and they're enjoying their champagne and having fun at an expo. And it's just like each member of the wedding party is kind of jumping in and handling different vendors. And it's like this chaos kind of going on, where for the vendors, it's like, who's the person who's hiring me?
Yes. Well, what do you do? Okay. Well, I got married 2 years ago and I didn't need a coordinator. And you're just like, oh, you must be fun at parties.
You are a delight.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yikes.
We interrupt this week's podcast for Jamie to use a weird voice to talk about something she's really excited about. You guys, I will never stop talking about HoneyBook. You know I'm obsessed with this platform. It is just the most comprehensive way for me as a wedding planner to make sure I'm tracking my clients, keep all the files in the same exact place, keep all of our communication centralized, and to make sure I don't double book, because I know that's the nightmare of so many of us. Right now, HoneyBook is offering 50% off a 1-year subscription, which is absolutely insane. I don't know why they didn't offer this when I first signed up. To be honest, I'm a little bit bitter, but you have the awesome opportunity of taking advantage of this today. So if you are interested, head on over to theunionpodcast.com/honeybook and sign up today. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep talking about it. Actually, I'm probably going to keep talking about it anyways. So you should just go sign up.
Okay, so we're really assessing personality and where the person is at in the process and what they want. Like, what are they looking at? What do they need? Now, one thing I know you mentioned with your sales calls, you always kind of wrap it up by telling them to explore their options.
Yes.
Look and see who else is there, you know, chat with other folks in your specialty. Do you do that at the expo as well?
Yes. Yes. I say, of course, there are a ton of great planners here today. So please feel free, like not feel free, because that's the wrong term. I use that in my phone call, because that is a more personalized, intentional meeting. This is someone happened to walk by and think my booth looked cool and might want to chat with me. So I will basically say, of course, go around, chat to the other planners. I think it's really important that you feel comfortable with whomever that you're working with. And I know that there are some stellar wedding planners that are here today. So I really hope that you find what you're looking for. If it happens to be us, I mean, don't get me wrong, I will be absolutely thrilled, because you seem wonderful. I'm excited about your event. I'm so excited about these details that you shared. We want to make sure that you find the best fit for you.
Oh, that makes you seem like just the sweetest, most caring, tender person. Oh my gosh.
And
I want to hire you.
I started saying that because that's not how other people were doing it. It made me so mad, because like, you do need to pick who's best for you. Mm-hmm. It worked its way into our sales pitch, but it was like our mantra before. Right. So yeah, now it feels a little, I was about to say cliche, like redundant to say it all the time, but that still is who we are. And that's obviously like what we fight for our business, is people making choices that make them feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think affirming that they are allowed to do that and not high pressure sales like maneuvers on them. You guys, like the number of vendors who are at these expos being like, buy it today. If you commit today, give us your credit card, you get 10% off right now. Oh, and then these couples are just like, what on earth did we sign up for? Why are we here? This is scary and overwhelming. So giving them that softness and that power, like giving them their power back and going, this is your choice. You're going to find the right people, and reassuring them. I think it works in your advantage so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people are not telling them this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's just not how weddings have been viewed.
Right. And it's almost like they're building up the scarcity and the intensity to kind of force them to make a snap decision, which I don't think couples need to do. Like,
no,
they generally have plenty of time where they can interview a number of folks, you know, chat with people, make sure they're feeling comfortable before making decisions. And obviously the vendors would prefer to move that along for financial reasons, but it's not in the best interest of either person, really. Like,
you
want the right fit for your business and they want the right fit for their event. So I think giving them that affirmation is so powerful.
And I think that right there is the key mentality. It's the key difference. It's like, I'm not selling them in that moment. I'm starting the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because if someone's like, pitch me, because you'll get that attitude. Hey, sell yourself. Come on, tell me. What do you do? What are you good at? Why should we hire you? I hate that question. Why should we hire you? I'm like, because I'm freaking good at what I do and I'm really fun. Okay? I drink a lot of caffeine. I'm not gonna fall asleep on your wedding day and everyone's gonna love the experience. Like, I hate that question. So I'm not trying to sell someone there. I'm just trying to start the relationship and planting that seed. And I will be intentional in my email follow-up later. And that, I think, is the difference between some sales techniques where people will be like, buy now, buy today and save. And if you don't buy today, the offer is going away. You know, like that, where you're just like, such high pressure.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's really no need for that. And you can use that and you can close some deals, I'm sure. But are they the right deals for you? Are you making the best decisions for your business and ultimately having couples you're going to enjoy working with? Or did you just find people who were like a little scared and overwhelmed and had their credit card handy and were in a panic and bought it and then regret the decision? And
I don't want panic buyers.
No, not at all. That's not an ideal thing. So what happens if someone comes up to the booth and their budget is just way out of range on either end? Do you have something where you kind of not cut them off, but direct them elsewhere? Or would you, I mean, obviously now you have the master plan, so you can refer them to that.
Right. But I didn't at any of the expos I went to, I didn't really have it up and running real strong. I think we just launched it before the last one, whatever. It's pretty new. I don't know why I'm over explaining that. That doesn't matter. Typically, I don't always get a verbal confirmation of what the budget is. I'll try to if it feels like it's natural to come up with conversation. But if someone's like, okay, so our budget's about $5,000, like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. Yeah, I totally get, because my husband and I, we did it in about $8,500. So it gets tight. Like, I'm so proud of you guys for doing that. I will say that you should not hire me. And I will just be that straightforward. Like, your money needs to be spent in other places. And I just strongly encourage you to, like, you know, obviously you're going to want a good photographer. You want good food. You want your attire to be what you want it to be. And I'm aware that what we do is a luxury experience for so many people. So I would recommend that if you want to hire with a planner in general, not us, if you want to hire a planner, I'd say make sure it's a coordinator and it's day or month of coordination services to keep it affordable for your budget range. But honestly, I think you can get by without one and I'll just be that straightforward.
Yeah. I mean, being a person who also planned on that sort of tight budget and didn't have a planner, but obviously also became a planner. Yeah. I think it's reassuring to hear that because I know when I was at that point, I was still a little panicked that I didn't have someone there to help me through the process. And I think in a lot of ways it would have totally helped. It would have.
Oh yeah.
It would have made things easier, but you know, like you've said many times, you don't have the money, you don't have the money.
Yeah.
So you're just working with what you have. And I think for someone in this space to tell them, like, you don't have to just come up with the money. You don't have to go open a new credit card to force this to happen. You can figure out a way to make this work. Might be a tad bit harder and more stressful, but you can do it. And I think that's so important that you're saying that, not trying to force them, like, oh, you're going to have to increase the budget. You're going to have to wait 2 more years to get married or something, which I would throw out there.
Yeah, that would have gutted me if someone told me that.
Oh, I had someone tell me that. I had a Yeah, I had a photographer who laughed and was like, "No, you can't plan a wedding for that here." And I was just like, "Watch me."
That's like the best thing that photographer could have ever said. Like,
That's like the whole reason my stuff went the way it did, and that I got, you know, passionate about helping couples on budgets, because I was just like, "No, you did not tell me.
Oh,
can't do this. That's crazy." Excuse me. That is BS, and I'm calling it out. So I think, telling couples they can do that. And then I think on the flip side, so the folks who come up and they're like, we're spending $250,000.
First of all, they're not going to be at an expo.
They should have a full service planner maybe doing this all for them. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they just wanted some champagne and a girl's day and brunch or something.
My guess is, you're probably not going to see very many over 80 or 90 at an expo based on my experience. Now, of course, this just varies from where you're at. For me, it's less the budget that's concerned. It's more of the expectations that come attached to the budget that I don't want to touch. I will not schedule your dress fitting. I will never be the wedding planner to schedule someone's dress fitting. It's just not going to happen. I will not be the only person talking to your florist. I will not be the only person talking to your caterer. That's just not my style. So typically when you get that higher price tag, that comes with higher expectations. So I will have those conversations, try to figure out what they're looking for, show them my packages. And usually in those circumstances is, oh, well, what about vendor communication? And that's where I can clarify, no, we're not going to call people for you. I don't say it like that, but it's like, so we are happy to jump in and assist with vendor communication as needed per email or like via email. But for the most part, we find most of our clients do enjoy the contact and having conversations with their vendors directly. And we simply coach them through the process. And immediately, if someone's looking for white glove service, they go, oh, so you're not making all the phone calls? No.
Yeah.
I just clarify. Yeah.
You're not going to be making an extensive list and interviewing on my behalf and setting up a tablescape to show me an example of what my wedding will look like.
Right.
Like on
or ordering invitation samples.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, yeah, on the shows.
On the shows. It sets people up for like this crazy version of what wedding planners can do. And some do that. We're mature, you guys. Okay. So some folks out there, they take care of all that, but I would say not the average wedding planner.
Right. That's when you enter into like the percentage based wedding planners,
right,
where they do like 10% of your wedding is their fees. Like that's not, I will never. We're like, I can't, I don't want to.
Well, where I think even some of them, you would pay them and they would handle that and disperse it to the vendors, because I attended a wedding that was like this recently, guys. It was so fancy. It was like a whole weekend experience and the hotel was included. Like it was like, I have a bougie friend. Okay. And it was pretty cool, but they definitely had the situation where they're like, we hired this planner and they just sourced everything for us. And I was like, wow. Okay. That's like a different,
that's a different breed.
I do, but that's so cool. And I'm so excited to be here to celebrate at this party, because this is awesome.
And not work it.
Yeah, exactly. And not be doing that job, because I can only imagine how much stuff was handled. Yeah. And so I think it's really important to clarify that. Now, if you're listening and you're like, but I want to be that person. Awesome. Do that. You're going to have a very different pitch than this. And you're going to be looking for different clues of which person to dive deeper into conversation with. You may be attending different expos, because I know there are some that are more boutique bridal shows at like really upscale venues, and you're going to need to like network in those circles. If you're just at the normal large scale expo, it's not going to be quite that targeted.
Right. And I have a feeling most of you listening are like, we're at the Walmart version, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's Costco. Where we're at.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Costco.
I love the Costco version. Yeah. I think that's a good place, at least as you're starting your business, to you know, understand and to kind of learn to pick up these cues without necessarily even directly asking, you know, the couple, some of these details. I think you can pick up on it with asking them like, what venues have you been looking at? And if they're listing things that you know of and are in the right range where that would align with what you do in your pricing, then that's a good sign. They'd be a good fit. Where if they're telling you some super bougie luxury place, they're like, oh, my grandma's backyard and we're making everything from scratch. We're making seats out of hay bales. No shame.
Red flag.
No shame there. You do that, but it might not be something you want to coordinate.
Red flag.
So run away.
Red flag.
So yeah, you can pick it up in different ways without directly asking their budget, although that is helpful. But some couples won't even know, especially if they're early in their planning.
Yeah. It's hearing their vision. It's hearing what their priorities are. Although that's more of like a sales call, like deep dive into, which is why I know I will never like, I accidentally close on an expo day. I don't mean to close on an expo day.
Okay.
So if we just happen to hit it off really well, that's fantastic. But I anticipate that I need to send some sort of follow-up email, need to have a follow-up phone call with them, that there's going to be a second step to the building of this relationship. And if someone books me just off the expo, I'm like, in the beginning, it was like, oh my gosh, that's great. That's incredible. Like I must have sold it really well. And now I'm like, wait, don't just book me off the expo, because we still don't know each other. I could have been wrong.
Right. It could have been a bad fit and you're jumping into it just because they're willing to get their credit card out and put a deposit or something.
Which we're all going to go through in the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. It's exciting to get that money in your hand. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, you're signing up to work with this person for 6 months, 12 months, a year and a half. Like you have to know it's going to be something you're going to enjoy doing. Yeah. Which is so important. And I think maybe also reflecting on the timing of when all these weddings are, because I think often we have a very seasonal job. So there can be a ton of work in one part of the year, especially depending on the weather where you live. And so being cognizant of like how many of these people, when you're following up, are all landing in, let's say, September. And it's like, how many can you really handle? Like being very aware, are you triple booking yourself on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Like,
nope,
that's going to be a horrible weekend for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so much more than just earning money. Yeah. And I know that's hard to hear in the beginning when like all you want to do is earn money and have this be a successful business. But because it's also a very physical and a very emotional one, we can't go all in for all the money at the very beginning, because that's where the burn, like, and the exact opposite. We can't do too many for free, because that's where the burnout happens.
Yeah. And especially early on, if you don't have the team to support you, you definitely can't do that. When you start scaling, sure, you can have some other folks help you. You can have other people in your team who go and handle a full-on event on your behalf. But out of the gate, you've got to pace yourself and be realistic about what you can do.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind too, you guys. Any final thoughts on expo prep for people?
On expo prep, we talked about decorating. We talked about the raffle. We talked about collecting email addresses. And we did kind of vaguely touch on the price sheet, but make it very clean. You don't need paragraphs. You need bullet points. Mm-hmm. Boil it down to the bare essentials. Because if people think that if they add more words and more information, that it will sell. Like, they're like, oh, wow, look at all the things that we do. Of course, you need to have more than 3 bullet points. Like, you need more than that. But people aren't going to wade through paragraphs. I would say 85% of what you're passing out is going in the trash. Yeah. So they're not going to sit and read all those paragraphs that you put together. One, because it looks overwhelming. The second they glance at it, they're like, that's too many words. I'm not going to pay attention. And two, it's because it's just too many words. I don't know why I started off with one. So making sure that your literature is good. People will ask for your business cards. You will need to have business cards available. You can do a half sheet or a full sheet price sheet. I always go full because it's bigger. A lot of places, a lot of companies will go half sheets or quarter sheets or something to pass out to make it more cost effective. But I would rather have a simple looking design on a full page than like a teeny tiny little like quarter of a page chock full of information.
Yeah, just crammed on there way too tight.
They're already overwhelmed. So like keep it simple.
What do you think about like QR codes, things like that, that maybe could be a little techie to help people get info? Do you think that might work?
In my experience, QR codes take too much explanation in maybe many
post-COVID.
Capacities.
Maybe post-COVID, now that it seems people have been getting their menus and whatnot with them. So perhaps.
Yeah, there could be that element. I haven't used it. I like a tactile experience personally. Mm-hmm. So I probably would never use a QR code, but I do see the benefit of it, especially in like a hands-free type mentality. But as far as I can, I will be rocking the here's a piece of paper.
That's fair.
Situation. Just making sure that I'm finding eco-friendly options and not overprinting. Overprinting is the hard part.
Yeah.
And then also if you can get a TV screen or a computer monitor with a slideshow, just get a little bit of tech up in there. Okay. Just a little bit and it will make a big difference.
Okay. That's a good tip as well. Now, have you found that most expos come with enough space, like electro outlets, or a lot of them charge upcharges for setting up the space? I know it can vary from event to event.
I've done most of them all through one company. Electrical is an upcharge, so they wouldn't run a cord to your booth. But here's the kicker. But the person behind me took power and there's an extension cord with a bunch of outlets. I guess it's more honor system. So they do upcharge for electrical, but I always pay for it because I always have a lighting element, something to just add a little something extra to space. And I also have the computer screen that's attached to, I use our Apple TV and have the slideshow playing of photos. So there's that as an upcharge. Most of them will include a table, 2 chairs and linen for that table. And I will ask for it to be removed. And I will bring in my own for that because I so much prefer that over like a creaky plasticky Samsonite chair.
Yeah. The basic stuff it comes with.
For sure.
I think that does make a bit of difference too. And I've seen some booths where they're full on building pergolas in the space and dangling down these beautiful floral displays. Do people need to go that hardcore out of the gate or?
Oh, heck no. No. In fact, our last expo that I did for the Amsler, I bought a brick backdrop off of Amazon for like $38. And so many vendors came up and said, oh my gosh, your backdrop is so incredible. Where did you get that? It was probably the most pared back I have ever gone at an expo. Mm-hmm. My very first expo, I did a pallet wood wall. My husband left me on the side of the road in San Diego. Okay. He was about, our marriage almost ended because of that expo.
What a guy made it through.
What a guy. So I went really hard. And then this most recent one, I went pared back really strongly and was surprised by how many people were like, wow, that backdrop looks so good. It doesn't have to be bougie. Just make it better than what's currently there and make sure that you are expressing, like putting out there what you want to bring in, the styles that you would like to replicate. Because obviously, if you're going to go full goth in your booth, you're probably not going to have a huge market there. But those who want to book you are going to be very excited about goth weddings, you know?
Yeah, they're going to see your style and they're going to love it. So
they want to see themselves living in your booth or their wedding looking like your booth does.
Okay, that's a good point for the style. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up. I feel like folks should be ready to go out and pitch themselves at expos now.
You're still going to screw up, which is like the least motivating thing ever. I'm so sorry. I still screw up, but it's going to be one of the best things that you can do for your ability to sell yourself is to be able to go to an expo, to be able to practice, to be able to see what you like and what you don't like, to put an X on the back of someone's raffle card. Like just to go through this process is such a, it's like a accelerated learning right then and there. And at the end of it, you will be so good at your packages and you will be so good at selling yourself. You'll fumble a few times, but you will get back up. And I honestly and firmly believe that doing expos in the beginning of my business was one of the best things I could have done, not only for getting actual clients, like that part's great, but also for being so much better at delivering what we do and why it's important.
Oh my gosh. It's like immersion learning another language. Like if you live in another country and then you just have to do it. And that's what happens at an expo booth. You just have to learn how to pitch.
those in the church call it baptism by fire.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, that works too.
Yep.
All right, you guys. So get out there. Let us know how your expos go.
Yep.
You can always email us at info@theunionpodcast.com. Let us know. We love hearing from you guys. Anything else that folks should be following? I guess Jamie on YouTube.
She's
talking to you guys sometimes over there now with some little wisdom, little nuggets for y'all.
Yeah. Every once in a while, we got to drop some stuff for the wedding planners out there. So yeah, that'd be a great place to follow us. And of course on Instagram and all that fun stuff, but we honestly are so grateful that you're here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging out with us. And I hope you get baptized in the fire. Well, that was not a great way to end the podcast. Good God.
No burns, just some sales and lessons learned.
We're going to remove ourselves from the podcast now. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, bye guys.
You've just walked down the aisle of today's episode of the Union Podcast. Thank you for celebrating today's show with us. We hope that you found a little gem of wedding wisdom from this episode. Please let us know your feedback by sharing a screenshot of this episode on Instagram. Be sure to tag @UnionPodcast so we can hear your voices. Let us know what topics you'd love to hear about on future episodes. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform you prefer. Until next time, stay lovely, wedding friends.